Well, thank you, Brother Michael. I saw him singing in the choir. I didn't know he could do that. We'll have to hear from him some more. Amen. Appreciate that. And what a good message. Maybe storming, but brother, we know somebody that's above the storm, don't we? Amen. Well, we had a great service this morning. Had Brother Jim Jorgensen with us, and of course, he's executive vice president up there at Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington. And we've known him for a good while, and he's on the same page with us about the ministry. We praise God for that. Amen. And of course, again, good to have Brother Wendell Evans and Sister Evans back there. And they came again tonight, so we appreciate that. But Brother Jorgensen's going to bring the message for us again tonight. So you come on, brother, and preach to us as God leads you.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Thank you again. It's a blessing to be here tonight. I appreciate the church, appreciate your stand in the ministry, radio broadcast and missions and the bus ministry and the college and everything here. Those of you young people that came to Landmark Baptist College, you made a good choice and great school. You ought to stay here, finish here, graduate, go out in the ministry and do something for God. And, you know, this kind of place, Brother Carter, Brother Parsons, I'd want influencing my young people, and you're in a great place. And appreciate the opportunity to be here. The meal and the fellowship time we were able to have this afternoon, and everything else. Turn your Bible, if you would. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. And turn, if you want to follow me, a couple of verses that I'll read out of Psalm, verse chapter 57, or the 57th Psalm, verse 7, and then Psalm 108 and verse 1. And I'll get more scripture into the message as we go through it, but I'm going to preach, I don't know what you call it, topical or whatever, a lot of scripture. I mean, anyhow, Psalm 57 verse 1 says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." And if you turn over to Psalm 108 and verse 1, you've got pretty much the same thing. Psalmist writes there and says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." Heavenly Father, pray that you would bless us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Help us to fix our hearts on some things and have some things on which our mind is just settled and made up. Help us to make those decisions tonight, reaffirm those decisions tonight, and then stick with them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't know, you pray and you think, well, what do I preach? And so many different people and different situations, and again, totally different kind of message than I preached this morning. Taken for a text there, my heart is fixed. I was telling Brother Carter and Brother Parsons at lunch today, when I graduated, I went to Princeton, wasn't right with God when I got out of high school, went to Princeton University in New Jersey, stayed there 4 years, graduated with a math major, and the tradition there was for the president of the university to bring the commencement address. President was Robert Goheen, and so we, you know, had minimal contact with him through the years, 4 years being there. But anyhow, he brought the commencement address. And the basic theme of the commencement address, I think he started off or someplace in there, he said, "Gentlemen," back then it was all men, "gentlemen, we've been glad to have you here. Everything's gone well, so on, so on. Congratulations on finishing, but don't be too sure that anything you've learned here is really true." And I thought, wow. I mean, I had a full scholarship, so I didn't pay anything. But I thought, somebody paid a whole lot of money, and I studied an awful lot of hours to learn stuff that they weren't even sure was true. And he said, you know, truth is always changing, and you never know, and it's evolving. Like we heard in Sunday school this morning, Brother Carter preached against that this morning, but that's the kind of things he said there in a commencement address, and you can't know anything because truth is changing, and so on, so on. And the last sentence was something like, "I hope that you will find, as you go on through life, that what I've said to you this afternoon is at least 90% or whatever true." I was trying to emphasize that nothing is all right, and even what I've told you just now is probably not all right. And of course, it wasn't all right because the whole premise is wrong. I mean, if something's true, it's true. But the whole message of society today is you can't know anything for sure. Don't have your mind made up. Don't be settled on everything. You got to keep an open mind. And I mean, I try and have an open mind about some things. You know, my wife wants to buy new furniture for the house. I'm open-minded on that. I don't, you know, buy what you want. I don't care. She wanted to get a new fridge the other day. That's a refrigerator. That's fine. You get the ones with the two doors that open like this, or one door on each side, or top and bottom. They got drawers in them now and all kinds. I don't care. I'm open-minded just so it'll fit in the space. And, you know, I mean, I can be open-minded about a lot of stuff. There's some things on which I'm not open-minded. I don't even be open-minded about. America needs churches and Christians and pastors and deacons and bus workers and Sunday school teachers that would say, God, my heart is fixed on some things. My mind's made up, settled. You know, my feet are on the solid rock, and, you know, it's based on the Word of God. I teach, I think this semester I'm teaching three classes at the college, and they're all classes I've taught for years. You know, one of the classes I still teach is personal finance. Several of you have commented to me, you took that class from me back at Howells Anderson, and now I've got, a lot of times I'll have children in my classes where I had their parents in the same class, well, or same title, different course somewhat. I mean, it's gotten bigger and more in it. But anyhow, same course title as I had years ago, and I've got the kids now, had the parents before. Teaching different. But sometimes when I go to make up a test, I'll look back at the test I gave last year over the same topic, and I'll copy and paste and kind of use that as a starting point for making up the new test for this semester. And sometimes when I'm looking at last year's test, I'll see a question there, and I'll think, oh, that's a good question. You know, and that's an important thing for them to know, but I forgot to teach it this year. I don't know if that ever happens to you or not. But I'm thinking, you know, they need to learn that, but I forgot to teach it this year. Now, I know those of you that are students, you think that's what all the questions are on the test. You know, it's stuff we forgot to teach. We're just trying to, but anyhow. And so sometimes I'll decide, well, I'm going to go ahead and put the question in there because I want them to study it for the final exam that's coming up later, and it'll be a good way to remind me to teach and cover it. So I'm going to go ahead and put the question in there, but I'll fill in the answer. And so everybody gets number 48 or 72 or whatever it is right. The answer's filled in. How dumb would somebody be to say, well, I know that's the answer that's in there, but I disagree with it. I'm going to change it. I've never had anybody do that. They always wind up leaving it and getting the answer to that one right. Some of them, that's about the only one they get right. But I know you're saying, well, if you had a good teacher, they'd learn more. That's probably true. But anyhow, there ought to be some things where you'd say, God, my heart is fixed. You know, everybody tells us all the time, man, you can't know anything for sure. Everything's changing. But there are things you can know for sure. You ought to fix your heart and your mind on some things. I don't want to rethink it. I don't want to re-examine it. I'm not going to re-examine it. I've read the answer key. I know the answers. I've got it figured out. And my heart is fixed. Say, Brother Jorgensen, what kind of things are you talking about? My heart's fixed on my King James Bible. Amen. I mean, I believe in the King James Bible. I believe I hold in my hand the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen. And somebody says, well, what about this and what about that? What about this translation, that translation, and so on and so on? Look, my heart's fixed on my King James Bible. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going somewhere else. I believe it's God's preserved word for English-speaking people, and I mean, it's the inspired word of God. Brother Fugit, like I say, it's either inspired or expired, and my King James Bible is definitely not expired. I mean dead, but it's alive. And my heart is, somebody says, Brother Jorgensen, you sound stubborn about some things. I aim to be stubborn about some things. You know, I mean, it's just, you're reading that test and it's got the answer filled in. You know, so my heart's fixed on that answer. Got it from the teacher. Not going to change it. No. Well, don't you want to rethink and reexamine? I mean, world's so messed up. I tell you nowadays, I mean, 6 months before, or 3 months, I don't know, before somebody's born, they can tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. Then when they're 13, they say, well, we don't really know for sure if it's a boy or a girl. I can't figure that one out. They're all mixed up. There ought to be some things we'd say, God, my heart's fixed on that. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. Somebody has said any education, any that so-called higher education that make you doubt whether or not this is the inspired, infallible Word of God isn't higher education at all. It's lower education, trying to cast doubt on the Word of God. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. Acts 5:42, they said, daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's our job as Christians. I'm supposed to go out and present the gospel to people one-on-one, confrontational soul winning, and I preach this message a lot. Somebody said, well, I don't like that word, confrontational. Well, you can call it what you want to, but I'm supposed to take the Word of God or gospel tracts and somewhere I picked, you know, got one of them from our church here and say, you know, look, Bible verses here let you know how you could go to heaven. Wouldn't that be a good thing to know? Yeah, said that to somebody on a plane the other day. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. That's my job. Amen. Soul winning. And getting out and confronting people, say, well, you know, Brother Jorgensen, we got new methods now. We've got radio. You've got a radio station. I'm for radio. Our church has a radio broadcast, not a station, but a broadcast. We've got a television broadcast. I'm in favor of the television broadcast. Give to both, you know, give to the ministries of our church. But none of that replaces soul winning. You can't say, well, I'm going to give to the Restore-a-thon, and so I don't have to go witness to anybody. I'm just going to pay for somebody else to do it over the radio. It's your obligation, my obligation as a Christian, to tell people how to get saved. I mean, that's my heart's fixed. Somebody said, Brother Jordan, it doesn't work anymore. I think it does. If it didn't, my job is to do what God commands me to do. The results are up to God. Not everybody I witness to gets saved. Talked to somebody else on a plane the other day, and they said, no, I'm not into that. I just never was in church. I'm not into that. Went back to the little phone and playing some word game. I mean, not everybody I witness to gets saved, but some of them do. And, you know, I mean, again, I like fellowships. I like Starbucks coffee. I like Krispy Kreme donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts. I like all that stuff. And, you know, if you want to take somebody to Starbucks or something, that's fine with me. I don't care. Take me with you. That'd be great. But my job is to go out and go soul winning. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And I'm not against, you know, any of that. Praise God for radio ministries and television ministries and, you know, whatever else you can do. Somebody said now they got a deal where you can pay and they'll robocall, you know, just a recorded script and call everybody in your area code and give them the gospel over the phone. I don't know, never heard of it working, but if, you know, whatever. I just want to get the guy, but it's my obligation, my job, and your job to go soul winning. You ought to take some tracts with you off the tract rack when you leave here and pass them out to somebody this week. If that's not your custom, I'd challenge you tonight. At least take 5 tracts with you when you leave here tonight and say, you know, I'm going to give these to somebody before next Sunday. Even if you just hand it to your neighbor and say, here, this is where I go to church, a good church. Come visit. That's not really soul winning, but it's something. It's a start. Somebody at work, somebody, you know, I don't know. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. Psalm 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Right. If you read the book of Psalms much at all, or Proverbs much at all, or really the whole Bible much at all, you can't help but figure out God loves poor people. God helps people that take care of people that can't take care of themselves. You say, well, you know, if I go out and work with those bus kids, what are they going to do for you? Probably they won't do anything for you, but God will. Amen. I'd rather have God doing for me than some rich man. I'm not opposed to rich men. Like rich men. And, you know, there's no glory in being poor. But on the other hand, my heart is fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. As I said this morning, just about every Saturday, my wife and I are in Lexington. We're out on a bus route. My wife texted me this afternoon. We were on a bus route a couple weeks ago. A girl about 10 years old got saved in Sunday school. We talked to the mother about getting parental permission. My wife and I went out to the house, knocked on the door, talked to the mother, got permission for the girl to get baptized. She got baptized today. Amen. I believe in a bus ministry. Say, well, you know, she mean it, or they don't stick, or I don't know. But hey, if they got saved, they're saved forever. That 17-year-old girl got murdered in Lexington a month or so ago. I'm glad that 2 years ago she prayed and trusted Christ as her Savior. And you know, you look at that, somebody dies at 17, you look back, you got the record where they got saved. Boy, you think, man, that's worth it. I'm glad we ran the buses that day. But you know what? Everybody that comes to Sunday school or stays at home or gets saved or doesn't get saved, they're all going to die. The fact that one died quickly doesn't make her salvation any more important. I mean, it's important she got saved before she died. But if we had 14 saved that Sunday, I mean, every one of those 14 just as important to God. You know, you look at it, it comes quickly, and you realize, you know, somebody said the ultimate statistic, 10 out of 10 die. We're all going to be in it unless the rapture comes. And I hope it does. But God blesses the individual who cares for the poor. God blesses the church that cares for the poor. Fundamentalism, I get worried sometimes. You know, I think Brother Fugits used it. When we get to the place that we just count tithers? How many did you have in church? Well, how many of those were bus kids? They're all people. They all got a soul. They've all got potential. Yes. Typically at Commonwealth Baptist College, we'll have about 30 bus kids enrolled in the college out of 200 plus, 225, something like that. Amen. And about 30 preacher's kids. Yes. Then we run about 160 or whatever normal kids. Preacher's kids aren't normal. Bus kids aren't normal. On the other hand, who is normal? You know, I tell our students, you're looking at your roommate, you're thinking they're kind of weird. They're thinking the same thing about you. Maybe we're all kind of weird, including me. We've all got something about us. But God loves poor people. Psalm 41:1, Proverbs 14:21, 31, Job. I mean, again and again and again. You don't have to read your Bible much at all. Figure out God loves poor people. And that if you take care of people that can't do anything for you and can't take care of themselves, God's going to take care of you. Amen. I'd rather have God taking care of me than anybody else I know. I say sometimes my wife and I have spent our lives trying to take care of our 3 kids, our college kids, and our bus kids. We've let God take care of us. Amen. God's done a mighty good job. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. My heart is fixed on preaching. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Hey, preach the word. Amen. I don't mind dramas and plays and all that kind of stuff. Our school has a couple every year. Christian's Academy does. And that's all fine, and musicals, and they have a Christmas cantata. They always put the Christmas cantata after one of the big days on the buses, and you start early and you stay late, and you're working hard all day, and you come in there at 5:45 or 6 o'clock before the 7 o'clock service, and they turn off all the lights and play this quiet music, and it's all I can do, stay awake all the way through it. But I enjoy it, whether I'm awake or asleep, I enjoy the time. I like music. Music here today has been splendid. It's been a blessing. But my heart is fixed on preaching. Not suave talks and musicals and dramas and all that kind of stuff. Somebody says, Brother Jorgensen, if you preach hard like that, sooner or later you're going to offend people. Now, my goal isn't to offend anybody, but I'm supposed to preach the truth. Again, somebody said, well, you offend. Somebody forgot to tell Jesus that. Be careful you don't offend anybody, Jesus. You know, maybe when he walked into the temple and found the money changers there, threw over their tables and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He might have offended somebody. You know, or, you know, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you're of your father the devil. He might have offended somebody when he said that. Nor Peter standing up on Pentecost and saying, you guys just killed the Messiah. He might have offended somebody, and he probably did. But 3,000 got saved and baptized. My heart is fixed on preaching. And you got to preach the whole thing. Nobody in your face preaching when you say you're of your father the devil. I mean, that's pretty... My heart is fixed on preaching. My heart is fixed on the local church. Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, on this rock I'll build my church. Amen. God promised perpetuity to the church. God promised to bless the ministries of the church. God promises power to the church, the local Baptist church. Amen. Now, I believe in the church. You ought to build your life around church. You ought to plan to, I'm going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know when or how I'm going to die, but I know it won't be in an airplane crash at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, because I'm going to be in church. Maybe on Thursday, maybe on Tuesday, but not on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I'm going to church. Somebody said, well, you can save money on tickets. You couldn't pay me enough money to skip church and save money on tickets. I believe in going to church. So while you're on vacation, I believe in going to church. We were on a family vacation. I hadn't told this story in a long time, but we were on a family vacation coming back from somewhere and stopped at a church. I mean, there was no preaching really. It was something else. But, you know, I just figured I was going to church. And I was telling Brother Hiles about it. I mean, this is a long time back. And probably I'd been at the college 10 years or something. I mean, you know, I was younger and new. And anyhow, so I was telling him about how pathetic the service was where we stopped. And he said, you know, Brother Jorgensen, some of our better church members plan their vacations so they can be in good churches on Sunday and Wednesday. I said, oh. That's what I've done from then. I mean, I was going to church. It was a Baptist church. I stopped and look it up in the Yellow Pages and find something. But young people, in the what? It's an app on your phone, yellowpages.com. And, you know, look up and find a Baptist church, and we'd slip in there and get in and get out. But I said, you know, we ought to go to good churches when we're on vacation. I mean, my heart is fixed on a local church. You ought to give to it. You ought to support it. You ought to attend it. Amen. You ought to support its ministries. Amen. You ought to give to the restore. You ought to give to whatever the preacher stands up for and says, we need to raise money for this. You ought to feel like, amen? Yeah. God, what do you want me to give? And God gives me different numbers, different times when Brother Fugit will do that. You tithe, for starters. I mean, I got tithe, but my heart is fixed on my King James Bible and door-to-door soul winning, the bus ministry and reaching poor people. My heart is fixed on old-fashioned preaching. Preach hell is hot and heaven is beautiful and streets of gold. My heart is fixed on my local church. My heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. 2 Peter 2:5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. Right. Ought to preach righteousness. Right. Some of you, Brother Jordan, says this is a different age. Don't you realize this is the 20th century? No, it's 21st. Right. I'm not dumb. I can count. Well, don't you realize young people, I mean, they see things different. Look, God's word doesn't change. Right. Hadn't changed in 2,000 years. And changing forever. It's the inspired, eternal Word of God, forever settled in heaven. Amen. It was right in 1965, it's right today. If it was wrong in 1965, it's wrong today. Right. And the same for 75 and 45 and 25 and any. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong. Right. My heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. And, you know, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I don't preach righteousness, if I don't teach and talk about righteousness, I'm cheating my members out of the blessing of God. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if I don't tell them and point them to the Word of God where to find righteousness, I'm cheating them out of the blessings of God. But I just, again, my heart is saying, well, don't you have an open mind? Not about what this book says. I don't. I believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I've got a copy of it in my hand, and I'm supposed to live by it. I mean, I still think that men ought to look like men and women ought to look like women. I still think that, marriage is for one man and one woman for life. And I realize that hasn't always worked out, but all you can do is go on from where you are. Right. I mean, say, well, I got this problem, that problem. Past is past. All you can do is go from where you are. Right. Most all of us have something in our past we wish we would have done differently, or something hadn't worked out right, or something didn't. But hey, all I can do is go on from where I am. But, as a Christian, I believe that marriage is exclusive, and I believe that marriage is permanent, and that's totally different from the world's philosophy. You watch television or anything, you talk to people, the whole idea of staying pure till marriage, the marriage altar, people don't even think that way anymore in the world. But it's the Word of God. I want to preach righteousness. But as a Christian, I believe, according to the Word of God, that marriage is exclusive and it's permanent. World say, oh, well, you get married. If it's not working out, wouldn't you rather be in a relationship where you'd be happy? No. Marriage is exclusive and permanent. My wife and I stood at Phillips Chapel down there at Highland Park Baptist Church on the platform, whatever. Dr. Robertson said, wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to have and hold? Until death do you part. And I said, I do, I will, whatever, I want her. She said the same thing. He said, I now pronounce you husband and wife. May kiss the bride. Till death do us part, I said. Again, you can't change the past. All you can do is go on from where you are. Not trying to. Past is past. But from where I am today, as far as that goes, I still think that men ought to look like men, women ought to look like women. I still think that marriage is a man and a woman, and it ought to be for life. I still think alcohol is out of hell. I still think gambling is a sin. I think drugs are wicked. I think Hollywood is all messed up. I believe you ought to get married pure. I mean, you say, Brother Jorgensen, that sounds old-fashioned. Well, I mean, it's just according to the Word of God. It's not according to what I think or you think. I mean, you read that book and study it, and you decide, that's what God said. According to, I just One definition I've given for faith sometimes is faith is believing if I do what God said, I'll be happy I did. Now, I'm sure it works out that way. Say, oh, you mean when you get to heaven, you'll have... Yeah, when I get to heaven, I'll be better off if I do what God said. But, you know, by and large, I'm better off here too. Amen. Heartache and drugs and broken homes and early deaths. And it's wonderful to be a Christian like we sang tonight. Yeah, you know, I'm going to challenge you tonight. Don't let the world keep telling you, you know, man, keep an open mind. You don't know. You can't. I mean, they want you. They're so mixed. They don't know anything. You know, they get the Word of God and read it and decide, this is what I believe. Amen. I mean, I believe this book and this is what it teaches. I'll toss this in. Sometimes even we say, and I've said it in the past, I try to be careful not to do it anymore. We'll say, young people, you need to, you know, your parents taught you this, your pastors taught you this, you need to decide for yourselves what you believe. Now, when we preach that, what we mean is, you know, preachers, you need to decide for yourself what the Word of God says. Because it's not up to you to decide what you think is right. It's up to you to read the Bible and decide what God said is right. Amen. And realize and say, yep, I found that in the Bible. That's what God said. That's what I'm going to live by. Amen. I mean, I don't. It's what God said. Fix your heart on some things. Decide, I'm going to stay. And, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm excited about soul winning. I want to be a member of an independent Baptist soul winning church and where they run buses, they do all that kind of thing. But on the other hand, if you're not doing anything of it, why don't you make a decision tonight that I'll at least pick up some tracts and pass them out to somebody before next Sunday. Why don't you make a decision? There's something, you know, it's great to say, boy, I love my King James Bible. It's the inspired, infallible. I'm not going to trade it for any other version. But if you don't read it, it's not doing you any good. And, you know, you say, well, I believe in prayer. Well, if I don't pray, it doesn't help any. Maybe some of us need to look at our lives and say, you know, yeah, boy, I believe, boy, that sounds good. I can say amen to all that. But if I'm not doing anything about it, does it really matter? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today would say, Brother Jorgensen, God spoke to my heart somewhere in the message. Maybe I need to reaffirm that I believe in the inspired, infallible Word of God or soul winning or whatever. I'm just going to fix my heart. I'm not going to change. I aim to stay the same, not surrender to temptations to change. Let me just say that now. I wonder if there's somebody here where God spoke to your heart that way tonight. I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I'm making a decision tonight. I'm not changing. I'm going to go out like I came in. I'm going to keep my standards, my soul winning. I'm not changing. I'm going to stick with it. You can put your hands down. I'll pray in a minute. I wonder if there's others who would say, Brother Jorgensen, I believe all that, but to be honest with you, there's part of it I'm not doing. I'm not doing the soul winning or the local church or the giving or the Bible reading or whatever. I believe it, but there's something in there God spoke to my heart. I need to do better in one of those areas. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? See several hands all over again. Wonder if there's somebody here finally that would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You talked about soul winning and somebody could know for sure they're going to heaven. But if I died tonight, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven or not. I'd like to know, but I'm not sure. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? And stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and after you're standing, I'll pray. When I finish praying, the pianist will begin to play. They'll start singing. And as soon as they do, if you'd come forward, if you raised your hand for prayer or didn't and should have, why don't you come out just as soon as they start praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God and that we can know some things that are not going to change on which I can base my life. That I'll see you someday and be glad I followed the instructions of your book. Thank you for giving me a copy of it. Thank you for things on which I can fix my heart. Pray for these that raise their hand and pray that you'd help us all to do that. If there is somebody here unsaved, pray that you'd help them to trust Christ tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As they begin to play and sing, if you raised your hand for prayer or didn't and should have, why don't you come on down, kneel here at the altar, make decisions. I know you can make decisions in your seat, but there's something about coming to an old-fashioned altar just does all of us good sometimes. I do it. Pretty much every preacher I know, I see, you know, they'll occasionally sometimes bow their knee at an altar. Does us all good sometimes.